I wanted to bring, firstly, glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, who designed it, who created it, and who blessed it when he gave Adam and Eve the command to go forth and to multiply and fill the earth. We must remember that none of us would be here this morning if it were not for mothers. Jesus Christ himself, who came in fulfillment of the promise of the seed of the woman who would crush the serpent's head, was born of a woman. He who was eternal in spirit took on flesh inside Mary's womb, formed by the Holy Spirit, and became a man who lived a perfect life. And he did this to become a perfect sacrifice for our sins and the Savior of the world. And we see Jesus honoring motherhood, even while in the throes of a violent, agonizing, substitutionary death, with these tender words as he took care of his mother by commissioning her to the care of John, the disciple whom he loved. If you're a mother here this morning, or if you have a mother, or if you know a mother, then I pray to God this morning that this message will elevate that beautiful, gracious calling to its God-given place of honor. I am particularly this morning speaking to you children. That would be all of us, but more particularly those of you who are young, who are in a family right now, as it were, and have mums and dads that you have to spend 24/7 with. I'm speaking to you and you young people here this morning, because whether you know it or not, you are influenced by the attitude and the mindset of the culture that you are growing up in. And that influence is a negative influence when it comes to honoring mothers. Your choices regarding mothering will shape the future of this nation, but more importantly, will shape the future of the church of God. And you will either live to the existence of the glory of God, or you will deny what God has honored and therefore deny God. And so I call you this morning to listen to the Word of God on the subject of motherhood. This message is also directed to all of you, moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, because all of us have a role to play in upholding God's purpose for mothers. It doesn't even matter whether you're married or single, this message is for you. Because only when you show honor to mothers do you honor the Lord, because it was the Lord who designed and instituted motherhood. Beyond all of this, I want this message to be an encouragement to you moms. It's tough. Being a mom's tough. It's exhausting. It can seem overwhelming at times, and I'm sure there are times in every mother's life when she stops and thinks, if only I could get off this train and take a break. Well, husbands, how about you cooking lunch today? That's a good start, right? But moms, I want to encourage you, because the challenge today is that you don't get much encouragement from the culture we live in. There's really not a lot of encouragement out there. So let me give some insights this morning. I just want to give four insights for honoring mothers, so that we may honor what God honors. Firstly, honoring mothers is counterculture. As I've said, is a culture that demeans and dishonors motherhood. On Tuesday this week, Michael F. Havelock of OneNews.com ran an article titled "Michelle O. Slams Family Values and Lauds Feminism." During a women's summit held in Los Angeles, California last Saturday, Michelle Obama discussed the roles of women in America today. And during a lengthy discussion with Tracy Ellis Ross, she criticized American women who aspire to attain meaning, happiness, and contentment in life by pursuing a biblical marriage and family. Can you believe that? The Blaze, which is another newspaper, reported that the two women who discussed feminism blasted what may be considered traditional values, specifically young girls. That's you young girls here sitting in this auditorium, you who are not mothers yet. They blasted young women, young girls growing up and dreaming about their wedding days and having families. Mrs. Obama insisted that girls today are force-fed delusions of grandeur based on oppressive male ideals. Ones laden, she said, with empty promises of happiness that bypass and outright deny a woman's desires for wealth, power, and success. And that last line, friends, says it all. The same sinful, rebellious desires stirred up in Eve in the Garden of Eden are still being stirred up on cultural Main Street today. And young woman, listen to me. Listen to me. If you don't, as a young woman, embrace the God-honoring, ordained role of motherhood, whether you become a mother or not, it's not the issue. And young men, it's the same for you. If you don't embrace God's design for motherhood, then you're not embracing God. It's as simple as that. You're not embracing what God desires for His people. You're not embracing that which honors and glorifies God. It's not a trite matter. It's not something you can throw in the waste bin as you walk down the pathway of life and say it doesn't matter. It does matter. And if you live this life for wealth, power, and success, you will ultimately end up bankrupt. Consider this. In Genesis 3, Eve saw that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which she and her husband were forbidden to eat from by God, she saw that the tree was good for food. That's the lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes, sorry. She saw that it was good for her, for food, sorry, the lust of the flesh. And that it was delightful to the eyes, the lust of the eyes. That it was a delight and desirable to make one wise. That's the boastful pride of life. And so the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life were all working inside her as the serpent was wooing her and telling her a whole bunch of lies, just like our generation is. And she reached out and she took that fruit and she ate it. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Well, First John 2, verses 16 and 17 remind us that all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is passing away, and its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. Listen to me. Wealth, power, and success, that's the voice of our generation, which this generation wants you to embrace to find fulfillment, according to Michelle Obama, is only temporary, and it's a fleeting values. That's all they are. They will pass away. You can't take your wealth with you. Success is only valued, true success is only valued through the eyes of God, not through human eyes. And power is meaningless when you take human power and put it up against the infinite power of God. And so this culture of dishonor stirs up dishonor within families. But children, listen. The Bible gives some serious warnings about dishonoring your parents. These are sobering warnings. To dishonor, firstly, means to fail to give the respect due to the person you should be respecting, which would in this case be your mother. In Proverbs 10:1, we read the Proverbs of Solomon, the wisest man on earth, that's what he was. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son, he says, makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. We see from this verse that the heart of a mother longs and desires the best for her children. It's a good thing to make one's parents proud by applying the things that they've taught you. So don't be a foolish son or daughter, because a foolish son or daughter is one who despises wisdom, the wisdom of your mother. And since the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, it could be concluded that the foolish son and daughter have said in their hearts, there is no God, because the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It is an absolute dishonor when we say, God, I don't need you. I don't believe you exist. I don't fear you. Because translated, what that means in human culture is, I can now go and do what I want to do, and I'm never going to be held accountable for it. How sad. And that's the culture we live in, friends. But children, there are a bunch of ways you can dishonor your parents. Failing to obey your mom. That's a mark of your depravity, by the way. We're all rebellious at heart. We're born in sin, the Bible says. It's a mark of godlessness, according to 2 Timothy 3:2. You can disobey and dishonor your mom by talking back to her. The Psalms tell us that words devour. By being unteachable and rebellious, by stealing from her, taking things that are not yours, we're not given permission to take, by lying to your mother, rolling your eyes at your mother, that haughty look that the Bible condemns, the sighing and huffing and puffing and the patties that you have. I know you don't call them patties here, you call them tantrums. It's a little bit of British coming out there, a little New Zealand. Children, when you ignore your mum and you walk away from her when she's talking to you, that's a dishonor to your mother. Proverbs 23:22 says, listen to your father and do not despise your mother. Complaining and being unthankful when we're told to do all things without grumbling and disputing, these all show dishonor to our mum. Speaking evil of her to your friends, mocking her. You know, in the Old Testament, some young guys mocked a prophet and they all got killed by a bear. It's serious. God takes mockery seriously. Yelling at her. Ephesians 4:31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you among with all malice. Striking your mother or your father. The Bible says in the Old Testament, one who strikes his father or mother will be put to death. Sneaking boys and girls into your house without permission or authority to do so. Not loving her by meeting her needs when you get older and she's older and she has some needs. If you don't meet those needs, that's not loving. That's not honoring your mother. Some religious people in the New Testament came up with a thing called Korban, where they could say, you know, all my money I give to God. And that meant that they didn't have to go and provide for their ailing and elderly parents. How sad. All of these are ways that we dishonor our mom. But of all of the dishonoring things a child can do, one stands head and shoulders above all the others. And this is found in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 9. Listen, children, to what it says. If there is anyone who curses his father or his mother, he shall be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother, his blood guiltiness will come upon him. And you say, well, that's Old Testament, Andy. We live in the day of grace. Well, listen to what Jesus did. In Matthew 15, 4, Jesus picks up this and reinforces the same commandment by quoting this very text. And the seriousness of cursing one's parents is seen in the seriousness of the punishment. Well, now that I've given you all of that list, aren't you thankful for the grace of God? Amen. Because, you know, when I looked at that list and went through that list and thought about my own life as a child, I think I failed most of those. I think I lived as a child with a spirit of dishonor. And that's to be somewhat expected, children, because the Bible says we are born with a nature that is rebellious against God. And if it's rebellious against God, it's going to be rebellious against those things that God honors. And God honors mothers. So praise God for His grace. Children, guard your hearts. Guard your hearts from every conceited, disrespectful comment against your parents. For these comments and these disrespectful and conceited ideas that you have about your parents will lead you along the pathway of open defiance, which will bring you into the court of God's judgment. And that's not a good place to be. You want to be in the courts of God's grace, not the court of His judgment. Understand that your parents are not perfect, and like you, they need salvation, and like you, they need an abundance of God's grace. So children, look to the Lord. When you think someone in your parental authority, when you think your mom is asking you to do something that is not good or helpful or right, look to the Lord for grace to still honor your parents. And I'm not silly. I'm not foolish. I know there are many homes in this country where mothers have forsaken their responsibility before God, and mothers don't see their children as a gift or a treasure from the Lord. They don't take stewardship, and children are damaged and hurt because of that. But on the other side, nowhere in the Bible are we ever called to dishonor motherhood, ever. So honor mothers, children, even when you despise their sin or their sins. Learn to honor motherhood. Why? Because secondly, motherhood's commanded. Honoring mothers, is commanded. To honor means to give respect, high respect, to esteem one because of their worth. Honor speaks to a deep sense of admiration and value given to the one whom we deem honorable. To honor someone is to affect that person's social standing because we are esteeming them as having more value than others. And that's true of motherhood. The principle and the calling to honoring the noble task of being a mother is commanded by God throughout Scripture. Leviticus 19, 1 through 4, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the congregation of the sons of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Holy means, of course, to be set apart. And in this context, it's to be set apart to the Lord, to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. As the Lord is holy, so should we be. In other words, the things that reflect the purity and glory of God are the things that you as a child and as a man, as a woman, these are the things that God has asked you to do. So the Lord is saying in Leviticus 19 here that Israel should be set apart from the world, not like the world which suppresses the truth of God in their unrighteousness. But rather we're to be a people who reflect the nature of God through obedience to Him. Now notice as Leviticus verses 1 to 4 continues what it says. So we've just been called, the people of Israel have been called to be set apart for the glory and the honor of God. And then in Leviticus 19:3, under this theocratic rule, this is before the kings, God says, every one of you shall reverence his mother and father. That's flipped around the opposite way to Exodus 20, verse 12, isn't it? Which says, honor your father and mother. And I think that's significant. I think that what God is giving us in Leviticus is an understanding that at the top of the hierarchy of being set apart to God, of honoring God, is honoring mothers. And the reason that he gives here for reverencing one's mother and father is followed by this statement, I am the Lord your God. In other words, the one who belongs to God's family will reflect God's values. And God values mothers. God values motherhoods. If we are the people of God, then we must have reverence for what he has reverence for. So children, honoring and obeying your parents comes with a promise. Ephesians 6:2 tells us that promise is that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. So honor your parents. You say, well, how do I honor my mom? How do I honor my father? Well, by doing all the opposite of the things that would dishonor. By obeying them while you live under their authority. By dependence upon their wisdom and counsel. By eagerness to receive your mother's training and instruction and correction. By dedication to serving her and meeting her practical needs as you grow and become a man or a woman and you see the needs of your parents. By respect and esteeming their God-given example. By pursuing them, of a God-glorifying lifestyle. In other words, by coming to saving faith and putting your faith in God just as your mother has put her faith in God. And by encouragement and gratefulness for her sacrifice and caring for you and loving you and nurturing you and providing for you all these years. That's how you honor your mom. Well, thirdly, a third insight is not only we honor mothers in a culture that's counter to honoring mothers because it was commanded, but also there's another insight as I look at the scriptures, and that is honoring a mother's role. Think of a role. What are we honoring? Well, mothers are the ones who bear and nurture and provide the primary care for their children. Proverbs 31, 25 through 30 says of a mother's role, speaks of a godly woman in this way. It says, strength and dignity are her clothing. Did you get that? Strength and dignity are her clothing. And she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the way of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, honor her. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. We see in these verses that the woman of Proverbs 31 is a woman who has faith in God. That's the source of her strength. That's the source of her dignity. It's where she gains her hope and her wisdom and the ability to serve day in and day out. And mums, if you're listening to this right now this morning, it is tough being a mum. But look to the Lord. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Gain the wisdom you need to guide your children from the Lord. Go to the Lord. Get on your knees. Cry out to God. Read His Word. You don't have time not to be with the Lord. As I said, there are many mothers who don't understand their role, even forsake their role. And it's so sad because this role uniquely reflects the heart of God. Do you know that, moms? When you are walking as a godly woman, mothering your children or other people's children or woman in general mothering other woman, then you are reflecting the glory of God. Listen to what the Lord said through Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah 49, 15 to 16. Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these, he says, may forget. God says, look, even some woman forgets. And then he puts this little phrase, and I love the buts of the Bible. He says, but I will not forget you. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. You see, what God does is he goes for an illustration to mothers and to the nurturing care of a mother to a child, because one of the strongest human bonds that exists is between a mother and a child, far stronger than between a child and a father. And God says, even in that bond, a woman can sometimes forget. And God says, but I will never forget. See, our God, he has a bond to us, his people, that is so strong that it's stronger even than a mother's bond to a nursing child. And so, moms, we need to understand your role, and you need to understand that the only way you can fulfill that role is to go to the Lord. The mothering instinct is one level of response, but there's a greater level, and that's a level that comes when the Holy Spirit comes to live in your life. Because when the Spirit of God comes to live in your life through faith, then you become a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. And a dramatic transformation takes place inside you. You receive a new heart and you receive a new mind. You receive the mind of Christ. And that mind is what enables you now to grow to the full expression of the capacity of mothering your children and others' children. In her book, Christian Mothering, Susan Hunt wrote this. She said, as a woman's growing desire to imitate God produces obedience to his word, she develops mothering characteristics. Our femaleness gives us the capacity of mothering. Our faith produces certain characteristics of mothering, such as strength, excellence, tenderness, generosity, desire to nurture, comfort, compassion, affection, protection, and sacrifice, and every other fruit of the Spirit, aspect of the fruit of the Spirit you can think of. End quote. As Titus 2, 4, 5 reminds us, the older women are to encourage the young woman to love their husbands. Here's the next one, to love their what? Children. Yes, moms, you need help to love your children. I was an obnoxious kid. I remember my mom literally grabbing her hair in frustration and walking the other way and saying to my sister, you take care of him. He won't listen to me. And I'm ashamed of that. But that was my nature. That was what I inherited from my mom and dad. And what my mom most desperately needed to do at that point in time in my life was point me to God and point me to the one who I will ultimately give an account to, and show me that my disobedience to my mom and my dishonoring of her was really a disobedience to God and a dishonoring of God. And moms, that's what you need to do. Take a big breath, lean on the grace of God, and point your children to Christ. But you need help. And so the older women are here in this church to help you love your children. See, we've become so independent in this society. We've cut ourselves off from the very help that God wants you to receive. And what we end up doing is we run to the world And we go after everything that the world's offering, the latest teaching program, the latest instruction, the next conference that's coming on mothering, or the next program that you find on the internet, and we try and fill up this void. And all the while, God has provided in the context of the community of His church, older women to help you, to teach you. The godly mother has heard the rich calling of Titus 2, and she understands that it's a high and holy calling, and it's one that confirms her heart's desires. She knows that when she walks in this way, she pleases God and not self or the culture. She understands that dynamic. And she knows that ultimately, as she honors the Lord, it will bring, as she honors her role as a mother, it will bring honor to the truth that God has revealed in His Word. And so, mums, we honor you for your obedience to motherhood and your determination to honor God by being mothers. This is a safe place. Hickman Church is a place where we will honor motherhood, not demean it and not despise it. And lastly, and just briefly, there's a fourth insight as we look at the scripture that we're to honor mothers for, and that's honoring a mother's influence. A godly mother understands that the training of the child in the truth of God's word is inestimably more of more value than providing the best opportunity for their children's education that this world can offer. In Proverbs, the gaining of wisdom is that which is of ultimate value, because the path of life leads upward for the wise, that he might keep away from Sheol below, Proverbs 15:24 says. And so we honor our mother's influence in two specific ways. Children, listen to me. Stay with me right now, because there are two things that you most honor your mother in. Two ways you can honor her. One, when we listen and hold to our mother's teaching, Proverbs 1:8, hear my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. And Proverbs 6:20 supports that. So really a restatement of it. My son, the father is speaking here. My son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. And so when we listen and we hold on to what our mothers have taught us from the Word of God, from that spiritual source, then we honor them. And secondly, we honor them when we take that step of faith and trust Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin and reconciliation with God. You know, in 2 Timothy, Paul writes this letter to a young man, and he recognizes that Timothy was the spiritually mature young man that he was because of his mother's faith and his grandmother's faith. And because of their faith, Timothy had trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of his life early. Paul writes, I'm mindful to Timothy, he says, I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am sure that is in you as well. And then later on, he exhorts Timothy this way. He says, Timothy, you need to continue in the things you've learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you've known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. And so we honor our mothers by following in the footsteps of their faith. And young people, what that involves is simply this. One, acknowledge you're a sinner. Don't be proud. Don't be arrogant. Just acknowledge you're a sinner. Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Two, recognize that you are born in sin and therefore under the judgment of a holy God. Recognize that. You're not going to sweet talk your way into heaven. The Bible makes it very, very clear that all men are under God's condemnation. All men, women, boys, and girls. Thirdly, realize that Jesus Christ came into the world to die for our sin, your sin, my sin, and through his death to provide peace and reconciliation with God by becoming the sin bearer. Jesus died not for his sin, but for your sin and my sin. Every time you've dishonored your mom, Jesus died for that. He died for that. He paid the price of death so that you and I could go free. How can we not be thankful? How can we not praise and glorify God when we understand that reality? How can we not take the fourth step? And that is exercise repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone can save us from God's wrath and eternal damnation. Children, honor and obey your mothers. For when you do this, God promises not only will he prolong the days, your days on this earth, but God promises when you do that in faith, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, that God will give you his glory, and his glory will last for eternity. And you're going to be blessed upon blessing upon blessing. And so we testify today that spiritual mothering is one of the most needed things in our generation. If we are to see this morally decaying nation of America return to God, oh, that mothers would mother in a way that reflects the glory of God. You are, mothers, glorious to God when you walk in the footsteps of Christ, when you make the home your priority, when you focus on your children's spiritual needs, when you model the life of Christ to your children by your actions and attitudes and speech, and when you teach them his words through a life of worship. Don't give that up to someone else. If you have children, that's your blessing, that's your privilege, that's your stewardship, that's your glory. Don't give it up. Don't let the world's values make you think like you're just doing something that's menial and pointless and nobody cares. God cares. God cares. And the praise of God is what matters. Amen? It's the praise of God.